Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today is the feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola, who was born in 1491 in northern Spain, and he spent his youth, listen to this, he spent his youth gambling, fighting, and vying for the affections of noble women. It doesn't matter, brothers and sisters, where you've gone astray, if when you turn to the Lord, you really repent of your sin. And look at this man. He went astray, became one of the greatest saints that the world has known. While fighting in Pamplona, he suffered a traumatic leg injury. In his long convalescence, he read the life of Jesus and the stories of the saints, which stirred him to conversion. What do you read? I don't mean that every book has to be a so-called holy book, but what do you read? Do you have, first of all, do you read? And secondly, do you have at least a book at a time that you're looking at the life of a saint? Learn from them. Because you too, everyone who listens to this program, every one of you can become a saint. Really. And it's our dependence on God, it's our turning to God, it's our willingness, as I've spoken about the last 2 weeks, the willingness to prioritize what is most important in my life. Magnificat magazine says, it stirred him to conversion as he read the life of Jesus and the stories of the saints. And after a period of intense penance, Ignatius went to university in Paris, where he met Francis Xavier, Peter Favre, and the other original members of the Society of Jesus. All young men, all searching, men who made the right decisions. And in the last 15 years of his life, Ignatius led the order from Rome, writing almost 7,000 letters to encourage and guide his brethren. Out of darkness into light, and it can be the same for us. Let's take a look at the first reading today from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 15 to 24, and then 30 to 34. Moses turned and came down the mountain with the two tablets of the commandments in his hands, tablets that were written on both sides, front and back, tablets that were made by God. Here are the Ten Commandments. Moses went up the mountain, and God gave him the Ten Commandments by which, if we followed them, our lives would become secure in Christ. Our lives would become secure in God and his beloved Son who would come to the earth. Do you treasure the commandments of God? Do you model your life on the commandments of God? That's what we're called to do. They were tablets, as I said, that were written on both sides, front and back, tablets that were made by God, having inscriptions on them that were engraved by God himself. Hear that. Hear it clearly. God engraved them on tablets of stone for Moses. God himself engraved the commandments. Do the commandments live in your heart? Now when Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "That sounds like a battle in the camp." Now they've been up on this mountain for many, many days. And as they're coming down the mountain, now when Joshua heard the noise of the people shouting, he said to Moses, "That sounds like a battle in the camp." But Moses answered, "It does not sound like cries of victory, nor does it sound like cries of defeat. The sounds that I hear are cries of revelry." As he drew near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing. With that, Moses' wrath flared up so that he threw the tablets down and broke them on the base of the mountain. Taking the calf they had made, he fused it in the fire and then ground it down to powder, which he scattered on the water and made the children of Israel drink. He went up the mountain. The people were supposed to wait and pray. And what happens? They give in to revelry, into drunkenness, into idolatry, every kind of sin. And Moses is furious, understandably. He should be. Moses asked Aaron, "What did this people ever do to you that you should lead them into so grave a sin?" And Aaron replied, "Let not my Lord be angry. You know well enough how prone the people are to evil." See, he's blaming them. But Aaron was supposed to care for the people while Moses was up on the mountain. Look at the human condition. "Let not my Lord be angry. You know well enough how prone this people are to evil. They said to me, 'Make us a god to be our leader.' As for the man Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." So I told them, "Let anyone who has gold jewelry take it off." And they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and this calf came out. Listen to that. It's so ludicrous. It's very, very funny, actually. It would be funny if it weren't so very serious. How easily we make excuses for ourselves. How easily we put the blame on other people. And Aaron certainly did it here. On the next day, Moses said to the people, "You have committed a grave sin." It's idolatry. Worship a calf. "I will go up to the Lord. Then perhaps I may be able to make atonement for your sin." So Moses went back to the Lord and said, "Ah, this people has indeed committed a grave sin in making a god of gold for themselves. If you would only forgive their sin, if you will not then strike me out of the book that you have written." Look at that. Moses saying, "Lord, the sin is terrible. Please, will you forgive their sin? And if you won't forgive their sin, then destroy me." True leadership. And the Lord answered, "Him only who has sinned against me will I strike out of my book. Now go and lead the people to the place I have told you. My angel will go before you. When it is time for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin." Is there idolatry in your life? Are the things that you pay more attention, give your time, your attention, maybe even your money to, more than to God? Is there an idol in your life? I really urge you to consider that and to pay attention to it. And if you say, "Yes, my time, my attention, my money goes to this, and it's not God or the things of God," then you need to repent. Psalm 106, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." God is good. God is kind. God is merciful. But he's not going to overlook our sin if we don't repent. If we repent, it's gone. But he's not just going to overlook it or excuse it. So we have to deal with our sinful patterns and our sinful habits. We need to deal with them straight on. Look them right in the face. Because what they're doing is robbing you of eternal joy. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds. Yet when full grown, it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches." He spoke to them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened." All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. Look at those parables for a moment. It's very important, I think, to see how Jesus teaches and to benefit from it. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. In other words, the mustard seed is the smallest of seeds, so it looks insignificant. But when it's full grown, it is the largest of plants. So if you allow the seed of God's word, which can appear insignificant, it's everything that the newspapers give you and TV and the internet and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that's what's important. No, what's important, what's most important in life is the word of God. In terms of words, what's most important is the word of God. Is that word of God shaping your life? Is it forming you? Is it helping you to learn how to prioritize? It seems so insignificant to the world. The world doesn't even pay any attention to it. It ignores it. But it is, as Jesus says, when it's full grown, it's the largest of plants. The mustard seed's the smallest. The word of God can seem, given the world's standards and the world's priorities, it can seem insignificant. And yet, what seems so insignificant is actually one of the most significant things for the shaping and the forming of our minds and our hearts, our decision-making, the whole direction of our lives. The word of God is critical. And he spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. When we see a beautiful loaf of homemade bread and we taste it, do we first say, oh my, that's marvelous yeast? No, we don't even pay attention to that. We look at the bread, the beautiful bread, the very tasty bread. We don't think that the only way in which that bread rose and developed into this marvelous loaf, the only way that happened was yeast, but the yeast, in a sense, disappears. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. Pay attention to what the world deems insignificant. Whether it be yeast in bread, whether it be seed that develops an incredible tree or plant that gives life and food to us. He says, pay attention to those things. The things that, I mean, who talks today about, oh, what a wonderful mustard seed I have? Who talks about, look at this package of yeast that I have? No. They're the catalyst for producing tremendous fruit in one way or another. And brothers and sisters, that's what God wants to do in our hearts. He wants to plant the mustard seed. He wants to stir into our development his yeast, that we, each of us, may bear fruit 30 and 60 and 100-fold for the glory of God. Open your heart to God's priorities. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.